Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We're going to preview the Big Ten tournament. We're going to hear from all 12 coaches today.
Okay.
So where do you want to start?
Listen, it's all up to you, buddy. Where should we start? I mean, the Big Ten tournament's probably... Some people are calling it a three-way tournament right now, mainly because of what happened.
Oh, it's far more than that.
But who are the dark horses in this tournament, in your opinion?
There are no dark horses. I think this is a wide-open tournament. I think there are as many as seven different schools that can win it. That's why it's fun and wild. So let's get to it here. Let's start with the Nittany Lions of Penn State. Head coach Patrick Chambers brings his team in as the number 12 seed. They're actually tied for 11th. But they're the number 12 seed in all of this. One thing he needs to see from his team is his team needs to come together.
I'm proud of our team, proud of the way they fight and compete. We just can't get everybody on the same page. It would be nice to see, us get Tim and Jermaine and Ross and John, all those guys on the same page and see what type of team we can be. But I know we're playing a hot team and a well-coached team and playing at a high level. I've watched them the last few games. So it's going to be a great challenge on Thursday.
No question, and part of that challenge is going to be facing Cody Zeller. There was a lot of debate going into the vote as to who would be the Big Ten Freshman of the Year, Cody Zeller of Indiana or Trey Burke of Michigan. In the end, justice was probably finally done because the coaches voted for Cody Zeller. The media voted for Trey Burke. Cody Zeller, though, is the guy that Patrick Chambers has to match up with on Thursday.
Well, it's really simple. I mean, he's such a force inside that if you try to take him away, they're going to make threes. And then if they're not shooting well, they're just going to put it inside. So they really can stretch you. And when they need a basket, he's there to make plays. He's a good foul shooter. He's a very good athlete. I don't think anybody talks about his athleticism. I mean, he can catch it on the perimeter and drive the ball and finish under control like a forward can. So he's an extremely talented freshman. And he just opens up a lot of things for that offense. Coach Crean does a great job in positioning him and when to go to him, when not to, and when to hit three. So it's going to be a big challenge. And he's definitely not a freshman. He plays more like a junior or senior.
And, of course, for Penn State going into this, let's face it, in a lot of ways, nothing to lose, plenty to gain.
I think you're playing with house money. You go in, and no one expects you to win. Everybody expects you to lose. And I think our freshmen are really getting better, and I think Tim Frazier, I mean, he can still get better, and he continues to get better. So it's like there's no pressure on us. Let's just go out. Let's have fun. Let's compete. Let's play hard. Let's play loose. And let's see what happens over a course of 40 minutes. And that's the mentality we're going to take. We're going to take, hey, take it one game at a time. Let's go out there. Let's compete. Let's see what happens.
That's Penn State head coach Patrick Chambers. They're in the 5-12 game, which is at 2 o'clock Thursday at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. 1:30 will be the airtime for the Nittany Lion tip-off show presented by Chesapeake Energy. So who's on the other side of the bracket? That would be Indiana, 24-7. They've doubled their win total over last year. They were 18-1 at home during the course of the regular season, essentially playing just 60 minutes away. They're playing essentially a home game. When they play at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Tom Crean, though, great respect for what Penn State brings to the table and the energy they bring to the table.
Well, we're excited about our past week because not only did we win some games against some really, really good basketball teams, but we got better inside of it. And to have the third best record at the end of the regular season overall in the conference and to get the 11 wins is a great testament to how hard our guys have worked to get better, to improve, to learn from each game, to take each game for what it is, which is the most important game on the schedule. And nothing changes this week as we get ready for Penn State. We've always thought they're one of the hardest playing teams around, let alone the Big Ten. And they've got some really, really difficult matchups in this game, and we're very close to pulling off a big win against Michigan yesterday. So we know we have got a tough task in the sense of getting ready to match that kind of emotion and energy and toughness. But that's what our guys have been thriving on. So hopefully we will continue to improve this week as we go into this next stage.
At next stage, of course, the Big Ten tournament against Penn State Thursday at 2 o'clock with a 1:30 airtime here on WKOK. Players on that team, as you look over time, Cody Zeller's made an incredible difference. Patrick Chambers amplified on that, but others have stepped up their game along the way. There'll be a change in the Indiana starting lineup compared to what we saw in the two regular season meetings between the Nittany Lions and the Hoosiers. That change is Verdell Jones III going to the bench. And moving to the starting lineup, Will Sheehy. He'll play forward. That means Victor Oladipo goes back to his natural spot at guard. Tom Crean's been very impressed with how Oladipo's played down the stretch at both ends of the floor.
Well, I think the biggest thing is that his defense and the energy that he gets from guarding other great players and the way that he plays for us there is just carried right into his offense. But he's an extremely hard worker, not only in practice, but outside of it, and is certainly one of the leading guys that spends a lot of time in Cook Hall or Assembly Hall getting his game better. And even yesterday, the last two guys off the court after walkthrough were Will Sheehy working on his jumper and Victor Oladipo working on his ball handling. And to me, that's why they're having success. And Victor is getting more and more confident with the ball. He's making better decisions. He's reading where the help is and isn't. He's fighting his teammates. He's more fundamental with the basketball, and I think he's going to have some breakout games shooting the ball as well because he just works so hard at it. But again, it all comes down to creating that energy and mindset from how you guard, and then it brings even more confidence to the offensive end. Well, I haven't given that a lot of thought, but I do.
No question about that. He'll bring that to the offensive end for them. What about playing in Indianapolis, just 60 minutes away from Bloomington? They have the home court advantage, and he looks at it as a big plus down the road.
I think it's a big deal, especially going back to the Crossroads Classic and the support that we had in there. I mean, this is the time where I think a lot of people will look forward to seeing us, not only a great tournament, but seeing Indiana and seeing us in a competitive way. And the crowds here have been so fantastic that I have no doubt that it's going to carry over there. And I hope it is. I hope Bankers Life Fieldhouse is sold out every game. And there's a ton of Hoosier Nation inside of there. And I know our guys thrive on it. And I think people enjoy watching this team. So I think the crowd support's going to be tremendous, and I think it'll be as good as it's been in the 4 years that we've been in the league.
It probably will be, because this is the first time on opening day that they've had both Purdue and Indiana involved, and both teams are NCAA tournament bound. Indiana is the 5 seed and Purdue is the 6, thus more energy in the building. The winner of that game moves to the quarterfinals, where they will get Wisconsin. That will be Friday at 2 o'clock. Head coach Bo Ryan of the Badgers, of course, getting his team ready for this. He was asked, a 3-way tie at the top, what does that tell you about the balance in the Big Ten?
Well, I think it's great for the league. We were talking about how 5 losses would have a great chance of, it's funny, back in October, that 5 losses could win the league, 5 or 6. Our first year in the league, we were 11-5 when we were playing 16 games, and that was good enough for a piece of the championship with 4 teams. Yeah, and that certainly didn't do anything but help the league. So it's the league is good. That's been talked about, enough. We are who we are, and now we go to next, and next is the Big Ten tournament.
And in the Big Ten tournament, once again, Wisconsin gets a first-round bye. They had that bye last year, and Penn State took advantage with the momentum, was able to beat Wisconsin in the quarterfinals last year to advance to the semifinals, where they eventually beat Michigan State. Bo Ryan has mixed emotions about the bye, good in one respect, not so in another.
Well, I think that times, you know, there's kind of a, especially after your senior day, pretty emotional. You're riding that emotion, and then you got two teams that are going to play the day before, and depending on when you can get your practice facility, on what else is going on in our arena, and what time, you might not even have a full practice for the other team because you play, I believe we play in the afternoon on Friday. I don't have those times right here in front of me. I think it's at 1 or so, and we don't get to practice on really get a much on in the facility. So it's hard. I think it's hard that way. There are coaches that have told me they love playing the first day when they won because they felt so much more comfortable the second day because of what you don't get on the court as far as practice time and all. So we prepare to get ourselves better, and then we throw some things in from both teams that are playing on Thursday.
And again, that's that mixed bag of playing, of getting the bye. You fight for that. You want that. But at the same time, you do not get a shoot-around in that court, and the team you're facing won the day before, and maybe a little more tired to a point, but they have the energy of winning, and they are engaged in the tournament. Very proud, though, of his seniors. He feels they've really stepped up between Rob Wilson and, of course, Jordan Taylor.
Well, they've continued to follow in the footsteps of so many other guys for decades that have come through Wisconsin, handling the rigors of the academics and the tough competition on the basketball court. And they come in as young men and leave as pretty mature men. And these two guys, Rob Wilson and Jordan Taylor, will walk and get their diplomas in the spring here, and it was fun to watch these guys develop over the years like it has been for other guys. But when you're in the precious present, it's pretty special. You know, the Rob Wilson's mom is her first time she could get to Madison to see him play in the Kohl Center, and obviously that was pretty special. For Jordan Taylor's folks, they've been here a lot, and it was emotional for them to know that there won't be another game in the Kohl Center for Jordan. But it's a step. Fortunately, it's not the end of the season. So the emotions were feel good emotions, and the guys are extremely proud of their accomplishments also. But they're very low key about it, and they're hungry for more.
Well, that's the top half of the bracket. A game that, of course, we're interested in, Indiana-Penn State. We've heard from Tom Crane and Patrick Chambers. And the winner gets Wisconsin. We just heard from Bo Ryan. We'll come back with more of our preview of the Big Ten tournament with the coaches after this.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is going to make the month of March Sunbury Motors Hyundai Month. During the month of March, test drive any new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai, and you'll receive a $15 Brewers Outlet gift card. Why should you test drive a new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai? Well, listen to these awards. The 2012 Hyundai Sonata is the winner of Lowest Cost of Ownership by Kelley Blue Book. And the 2012 Hyundai Elantra was named Best Car Under $20,000 by AOL.auto.com. Every new Hyundai comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. And every Hyundai purchased at Sunbury Motors Hyundai receives an additional set of tires. If you're looking for a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, or at sunburymotors.com.
As you prepare to file your tax return, take a close look at your retirement plan. Is your retirement plan with a previous employer? Have you reviewed your investment choices during the past year? Did you recently receive a lump sum of money that could be invested in a new retirement plan? I'm Vicki Bailey, your financial representative at Milestone Investment Services. Together, we can review your options and plan for your future during a no-obligation consultation. Call Mifflinburg Bank & Trust to schedule an appointment. Mifflinburg Bank & Trust and Milestone Investment Services, one stop for all your financial needs.
Advisory services and securities offered through Lincoln Investment Planning Incorporated. Registered investment advisor, broker-dealer, member FINRA and SIPC. Lincoln Investment Planning Incorporated is not affiliated with Milestone Investment Services or Mifflinburg Bank & Trust. Securities are not FDIC insured and involve risk, including possible loss of principal.
It was a bank that works for you.
This is Hollywood, where you can celebrate the luck of the Irish Saturday, March 17th at Hollywood on the Roof with $2 corned beef sandwiches and $2 draft beer from 5 to 8 p.m. Plus a live performance with Smooth Like Clyde starting at 8 p.m. Playing all your favorites from the 60s through today, including authentic Celtic songs in honor of St. Patrick's Day. It's all at Hollywood, where the stage is set and the whole cast is here, from the crowd-pleasing chefs in the kitchen to the movers and shakers on the dance floor, from the dealers directing the action to the blockbuster winners and breakout stars. Here, you've got the lead role, because there's no place like Hollywood Casino. Just minutes from Harrisburg and Hershey, take I-81 to exit 80. Must be 21 or older to enter the casino or attend concert. Gambling problem? Call 1-877-565-2112 for help.
Weekdays from 10 a.m. till noon, join Dan Patrick on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
That's something you got to think about. Who would play you in a movie?
Jason Bateman. Not that I had that answer ready.
And you're about what? Are you 6'3", 6'4"?
Yeah, 6'3".
I'm not sure what he is, but most actors you see on television, you think they're 6 foot and they're like 5'6".
They're stumpy. Who would you, I'm thinking? Dude. For you, Jason Statham.
Statham, that's what I was going to say.
Right. Dan will talk all things sports and more. Dan Patrick, weekdays 10 till noon and again from 7 to 10 p.m. Only on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
We continue with our preview of the Big Ten tournament. Don't forget, coming up on Thursday here on WKOK, 2 o'clock the tip-off, 1:30 the airtime for Penn State and Indiana. The winner gets Wisconsin. So far we've heard from Tom Crean, Patrick Chambers, and Bo Ryan of Wisconsin. We continue now with the 8-9 game, which will be the game at 11:30. That will feature Iowa against Illinois. Now, while it's 11:30 Eastern time, the body clocks of the players on both sides, because they're Central Time Zone teams, actually will be 10:30 for the game. It'll be interesting to see which one gets out of the gate. I have a feeling I know which one it'll be, and that's the team we're about to hear from. Iowa went 8-10 in the conference, played very well down the stretch, completely turned their season around from the non-conference schedule. Fran McCaffrey, the head coach of the Hawkeyes, very pleased with what he saw from his group.
We had an interesting week with a road win in Nebraska and a tough loss at home against a very, very good Northwestern team. came down to the end, and I thought our kids battled hard, but I think Northwestern has had a spectacular season, and they made the plays when they had to, and that was unfortunate for us, good for them. But I feel like we're playing our best basketball of the season, without question. We've continued to get better. You know, we played well in February, and I think going to this tournament, you know, feeling pretty good about where we are.
They should feel very good about where they are. They've come on. They've been a very good basketball team. This is actually a really good win for Penn State when they beat them at the Jordan Center 69-64 just a couple of weeks ago. Matt Gaetens has had an outstanding season, one of the all-conference selections in the Big Ten. He's talked openly about down the road being a coach. Would Fran McCaffrey discourage that?
No, you know what? I would recommend that he coach. I think he'll be spectacular at it for a number of reasons. You know, there are so many things that I don't think people really think about when they think about what's going to make a good coach. But in his case, obviously, you know, he had a great career. And as a player, you have a different feel of what it takes. And I think his basketball intellect is off the charts. I think, without question, you know, this is a business where you talk about guys putting hours in, and guys putting in the hours on weekends, and you know, his work ethic is nothing like I've ever seen. So you add into the fact that he's just got innate intelligence on top of his basketball IQ. You know, those are the factors that you look at when you think if somebody's going to be a great coach. And then he obviously has the ability to communicate, articulate, and has a level of credibility. So, you know, he's ready now to jump in. My thought is he should keep playing. I mean, he's going to get some serious looks in the NBA, and I think he needs to play as long as he can play.
That's talking about Matt Gaetens, of course, and Gaetens will get a long look from somebody, especially with the shot he has and the energy he plays with. Iowa, a team that struggled in the non-conference, became better in the Big Ten where they went 8-10 in conference play. They're the number 8 seed coming in. Fran McCaffrey knows where the difference is. It's not at the offensive end.
You know, I think, you know, you go back to some of those early games where we were really struggling. You know, I think we got exposed against Creighton. You know, they're a very good offensive team, but you know, and our offense was abysmal that day, and that entered into it. But our defense was as bad as I've seen. And, you know, we had a few others. Our defense against Campbell, while they played extremely well, was not good. Our defense against Northern Iowa was horrendous. So clearly, at that point in time, those games were relatively close to one another. We were struggling at the defensive end of the floor. And you're thinking to yourself, if we don't get this corrected, I mean, can you imagine what it's going to be like when we go into Big Ten play? I mean, we're just going to get destroyed. And, you know, you saw it, you know, certainly at Wisconsin, what we were capable of doing, but then we had improvement, and then we had some relapses, and you know, it's starting to get much more consistent. And it starts with our guards. I mean, that's terrific. But, you know, Marvel has gotten better. It was always more of an offensive player. Cartwright got healthy, better capable of putting pressure on the basketball. But I think, you know, McKay, Basabi have gotten better. I mean, those two guys have typically been foul prone. And then Aaron White, you know, he's a guy that struggled with stamina, and that's going to affect your defense more than it's going to affect your offense.
That's Fran McCaffrey, the head coach at Iowa. Coming up, Illinois' Bruce Weber. We'll hear from him in a few moments. But first, the news with Sarah Bartlett at the bottom of the hour on WKOK. You can tell the Sunbury Motors studio has been very active the last couple of days putting all this together. Let's update you on the scoreboard right now. Jeremy Lamb had 25 points today as UConn advanced to the Big East tournament, defeating DePaul 81-67. At the half, Pitt leads it over St. John's 33-28. So far, Ashton Gibbs has 15 in the MEAC tournament. Taking place in Winston-Salem, Hampton won earlier today. They beat Morgan State 69-65, and Howard beat North Carolina A&T 51-50. We continue on with our preview of the Big Ten tournament from Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. Penn State will play against Indiana at 2 o'clock Thursday with a 1:30 airtime here on WKOK. And tonight, Patrick Chambers will be on the Penn State basketball show from Damon's from 6:05 to 7. So far, we've heard from Patrick Chambers, Tom Crean of Indiana, and Bo Ryan of Wisconsin. And we start previewing the matchup between Iowa and Illinois. That's the 11:30 matchup on the Big Ten Network. So far, we've heard from Iowa's Fran McCaffrey. At the opposite end of the spectrum is Illinois head coach Bruce Weber. They are 1-8 in their last 9 games. That one win, ironically, though, was against Iowa. And for head coach Bruce Weber, not exactly the stretch run that he had sketched up.
Well, after beating Iowa a week ago Sunday, you know, we kind of felt we had some, maybe a little bit of energy left in the tank, and came out with not great emotion against Michigan on Thursday. And I think Michigan is playing at a very, very high level, especially if Hardaway plays the way he did against us. And he's really struggled shooting, but came out and, you know, just played in a zone and played at a high level along with Trey Burke. And, you know, but it was still a game where we had a chance, cut it to 1, had a free throw, had 4 or 5 opportunities. And that's the thing that's plagued us all year when we get to that gut check part of the game, to get the basket, the rebound, make the play that makes the difference in the game. And then we came back at Wisconsin, knew it would be tough on senior day, always tough to play both teams up there, and we spotted them again. Not a great emotional start for us. Spotted them 14-2, and then, you know, after that, our kids didn't quit and battled and stayed with it and had a couple chances in the second half where it was at 8 or 9, where, you know, you can maybe, you know, put a little fear into them, but again, did not make the shot or the play. So now you have Iowa on Thursday, early morning game. The thing I've tried, or, you know, just stress to our kids is just this is about passion, of like loving to play the game, having some pride, and, you know, it's a team we did beat. We played pretty well against them. You know, we played some inspired basketball, and hopefully we can, you know, it starts over for everybody. You're 0-2 going into the tournaments, and, you know, see if we can muster up enough energy and emotion and maybe get a couple calls and shots to go down and make some plays that make a difference and make a little bit of a run.
Sounds a little desperate there along the way, talking about trying to muster up energy and emotion. It's postseason time. You can't do that. You shouldn't be in. The last time they played Iowa, they did beat Iowa. Ironically, Weber, trying to put a little more juice into his team, trying to send a message to his team, benched Myers Leonard and Brandon Paul. He brought them off the bench, and they won. So is that a thought this time around?
Well, you know, the disappointing thing is that you're 28, 29 games into the season, and you have to, you know, fight to get the kids to have a competitive spirit, and I think we got their attention. Obviously they played at a high level that game. They responded pretty well in practice the days after that, and that's why we started them against Michigan and also against Wisconsin. And, you know, we just got a hope, I thought, in the second half yesterday. Brandon, you know, had one of his better halves, and Myers played with energy. We just don't have – we have to have a sense of urgency like we did against Iowa when they came off the bench right from the start. So, you know, I haven't thought that deeply into it, but if, you know, that makes a difference, maybe we'll give it a shot.
Myers Leonard, when they came to the Jordan Center, had several NBA scouts there watching him, including Danny Ferry. Many have felt that Myers Leonard could be a lottery pick in the NBA draft. He hasn't played like a lottery pick, though, for Bruce Weber. At the same time, he is a matchup problem for Iowa.
Well, I thought the big thing was he played so hard. He was a difference maker on the defense, and then started out when he got in there blocking shots. He had 14 rebounds, 6 offensive rebounds, which he hasn't had, I think, all year. He was, whether I got his attention, got him focused, he just played hard. And he does have a size advantage. He has a size advantage against a lot of people, but, you know, people have packed it in. They've, you know, pinched the post, doubled the post. We're not the best passing team, so it's at times, and shooting team, so teams have been able to do that. So, if he's active and mobile, we get him playing definite, making definite cuts, definite post-ups, staying with his post-ups. You know, he should be effective against Iowa, hopefully, and against any other team.
And again, that will be Illinois and Iowa. That's the 10:30 start. You heard Bruce Weber mention, wow, it's the early morning game. Remember, they're two central time zone teams, so body clock-wise for them, it is actually a 10:30 start. But again, it's 11:30 Eastern time. That one will be on the Big Ten Network. The winner of that game then moves to the quarters. And when they get to the quarters, they'll get the number one seed in the tournament. That would be Michigan State. Michigan State was humming along. They won 7 games in a row coming down the stretch, and then lost at Indiana and the heartbreaker on the Will Buford shot at the end Sunday when Ohio State beat them. Head coach Tom Izzo.
Well, to say we're very disappointed in the game yesterday would be an understatement, and yet give Ohio State credit. They came back from a 15-point deficit, outplayed us the second half, and deserved to win. I just was disappointed that we couldn't finish things off and in front of an incredible crowd and the whole setting, but that even speaks more for what they did, and so we're just going to have to stew about it for another 5 or 6 hours, and once the 24-hour rule is up, it's move on. And that's what we're going to do.
One player that can't move on and into the tournament, though, is the freshman Brandon Dawson. Now, this does speak to the depth that we have in the Big Ten Conference. Brandon Dawson was not considered by anybody to be a Freshman of the Year candidate. Yet, as a freshman player, he starts for Michigan State, and he is a very good player with great potential. The top three freshmen in the conference, everyone knows, Trey Burke, Cody Zeller. They ended up one, Zeller being the coach's selection, Burke being the media selection as Freshman of the Year, and there's Aaron White of Iowa. Dawson, though, very, very good, but not available for a long time for Michigan State. He tore his ACL when he collided knees in the Ohio State game. Now they have to start thinking about the 2012-13 season. Do you redshirt him or play him?
You know, that is so speculative. I have no idea. I think of the guys like a Robbie Hummel, and, you know, I just don't know. Everybody recovers differently. There's guys that have recovered in 4 months. There's guys that have taken a year. I just felt bad for Brandon. You know, it was a tough locker room scene after the game. He just was crushed when he got the news. And you know, as I told him, you know, I remember talking to Robbie Hummel right after he did it, and knowing what he went through, you know, it happens, and then it happened again. And it's one of those things in life that you don't wish on anybody, and especially a young guy who's never really been hurt, but there's people dealing with a lot worse, and that's the way we got to look at it.
It's a three-way tie for the top at the Big Ten, Michigan State, Michigan, and Ohio State. It turned out that Michigan State is the number one seed, Michigan the two, Ohio State the three. And for Tom Izzo, that speaks to the balance and the depth of the Big Ten.
You know, it should be, in my own way, for the seven we've had here, our most celebrated one because of that exact reason. And yet, I guess in a sick sort of way, at least for another 6-8 hours, it's one of my more disappointing ones because of not being able to finish the job. But I don't think there's any question. I mean, you'll get arguments till the cows come home about what conference is the best and this and that. And I still say you look top to bottom. And if it isn't the best, it sure is the best in the 27 years I've been here. So, you know, that's what I feel about the league. And I think some teams, you know, we've all beaten up each other. Usually there's a couple teams at the bottom that, you know, might not have a win on years like this. And that's not the case. And so I hope it doesn't hurt us in the NCAA time because strength of schedule and all the things that are supposed to matter would really make a difference now for some of those teams that are supposedly on the bubble because the conference is so good.
So that is the top half of the bracket. We'll start taking a look at the bottom half of the bracket of the Big Ten tournament up next. The game everyone's talking about, of course, we're more intrigued by Penn State, Indiana, because that's the game we're carrying, but many are talking across the country about the matchup between Northwestern and Minnesota because the Cats have the window of opportunity at hand. We'll hear from Bill Carmody and Tubby Smith of Minnesota after this on WKOK.
Quality, not quantity. It's a critical component of improving health care. I'm Dr. Glenn Steele, President and CEO of Geisinger Health System. The great dilemma in healthcare today is that providers often get paid for the quantity of their services, not the quality of their work. To solve this problem, we need to readdress how we pay for healthcare. One solution is to package services and make providers accountable. For example, if you need surgery, you would pay one flat fee for doctor visits, hospitalization, and beyond. If you have complications, the providers would cover the cost. As a result, they're going to take every step possible to assure a good outcome. By holding providers accountable, patients ultimately receive higher quality, more cost-effective care. But healthcare reform is about more than changing how we pay for care. It's about changing the way that care is delivered. A healthier America is within reach. For Geisinger Health System, I'm Dr. Glenn Steele.
So, you have a website for your business, but does it do everything you want it to? Or do you want a website? Are you looking for a site that offers many things, from simple information to integration with your current workplace or organization? Do you want to add a shopping cart to your online site so that you can make internet sales a part of your business? What about possibly updating your current site easily on your own without waiting for your website company to do it? You'll be glad to know that there's only one answer for all these questions: Better Business Solutions. Better Business Solutions can develop a website that can do all that and so much more. You need to have your website hosted? Do you want to show samples of your product from secure information? And perhaps the biggest question, do you have a name for your website? Again, there's just one name you need to know, and it'll answer all your questions. Better Business Solutions. They'll take care of everything, and all you need to do is call 275-5844 or visit them at their website, better-business-solutions.com. They have the solutions for your website questions at Better Business Solutions.
Life is about choices, and solar power isn't just a great choice. It's the right choice. It's a choice that reflects your commitment to preserving our environment and reducing our dependence on fossil fuels and foreign oil. But it's a smart choice that saves you money, increases your property value, and offers a substantial return on your investment. Your next choice is easy. Lenape Solar. Professional, certified installers, and experts in renewable energy incentives is your trusted local source for photovoltaic, solar thermal, and energy efficiency solutions. Lenape Solar will help you harness the power of the sun to great benefit while creating 100% clean energy for your home, small business, or commercial facility. Choose solar power. Choose Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury and online at lenapesolar.com.
You already know that Zimmerman's in Sunbury and Sealands Grove is the Jeep capital of Central Pennsylvania. But did you know that with the addition of the medium-duty truck line, they want to be known as the Ram Truck Capital of Central Pennsylvania? If you need a stake body, delivery box unit, dump body, or even a rollback for towing the other cars and trucks, as the head of the Ram Truck Capital, Zimmerman's will be excited to meet your medium-duty truck needs. With a Cummins diesel and gross combined rating of up to 26,000 pounds, they have your farm or business solutions. That's Zimmerman's in Sunbury and Sealands Grove. Stop in and let them go to work for you.
We continue our preview of the Big Ten tournament. We've taken a look so far at the top of the bracket, which is Penn State, Indiana, with the winner meeting Wisconsin in the quarters, and then Illinois and Iowa with the winter meeting Michigan State in the quarters. That's the afternoon session. Now let's get to the evening session on Thursday. The 6:30 matchup, this will be on ESPN2, will be Northwestern against Michigan, against Minnesota. We know what the Northwestern story is. Right now they're looking for their first ever NCAA tournament bid. They are the only BCS school that has never been to the NCAA tournament. Joe Lenardi right now has them on the 34 line, which is not bad because 37 at-large teams make it. He has them at 34 right now. Many feel they need one to get in. Bill Carmody knows it's a critical time.
Well, we were off yesterday after having played at Iowa on Saturday night. And, we have, 3 days now for preparation for Minnesota. We've played them twice and we split. Both teams won at home, so now you're on a neutral court. And, both teams have stuff to play for. So I just heard Bruce's last answer there about fresh start, and I think it's fresh start for everybody because, each team wants to go in there and try to win a championship.
Now, his team, of course, is in that interesting position. He also feels it's even more interesting because the tournament, according to Bill Carmody, is wide open.
I've seen it happen before. And he mentioned Connecticut, and I remember Iowa years ago with Evans and, in one of Steve's years, there, Steve Alford's years. And they came out and won it all and weren't expected to. So a lot can happen, but it's a lot of fun and exciting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, you saw that. I mean, we were down 15 on Saturday night and came back and won on the away court. Ohio State was down, I think, 13 or 15 yesterday on the away court and came back and won. In years past, you would say, all these two teams and, maybe some surprise here and there. But this year, I really wouldn't know what to say. Anyone really can beat anybody. And it's not just like the third, seed team can beat the first or second. I think, all the way up and down, there can be some pretty big upsets. Nah.
So that's how he looks at it. Now, last year, Penn State entered the tournament really in the same position Northwestern was. And in fact, Penn State was very fortunate. When they played Indiana last year, if it hadn't been Indiana, Penn State did not play well. They played tight in the opening game. Then, once they got through the opening game, they played Wisconsin with confidence. They were loose. They played Michigan State tremendously, and they were loose. And then, of course, played Ohio State in the title game where they just really ran out of gas. So does he look at all of this?
You know, I mean, I think that these guys know history better than I do almost. And so that, you know, and they read more about it. And I just sort of look at it as, you know, game by game, we're going down there, we're, you know, trying to win it. And, you know, I think we've been playing pretty well, so I do that. I don't use that as a motivational tool or whatever, because I think that they recognize that and probably talk, you know, about that amongst themselves.
That's Bill Carmody, the head coach at Northwestern. He's been the perfect guy to coach that program. That's why I laughed a couple of years ago when somebody said, hey, he's all but done. I said, do you know who you are? Tubby Smith in Minnesota. They are the number 10 seed heading into this thing, and Tubby feels that his team actually has some momentum going in.
You know, we were happy to get the win against Nebraska. Nebraska's a very Doc Sadler's done a good job there. I know coming into the Big Ten for the first time, there's always that transition, but his teams play extremely hard. You know, and so, you know, we were fortunate to get the win. I thought our guys, we had one of our better games, most complete games of the year. And when you shoot the ball well, a lot of things, you will solve a lot of problems. So we know we're getting ready for a very good Northwestern team that beat us up pretty good in Evanston. So and last year they beat us in the first round as well of the tournament. So. We know we have our work cut out for us.
He also has a young team. Younger players in his program are starting to produce.
Well, you know, they pass being freshmen now, especially, you know, Andre Hollins. He's played a number of games and started. You know, unfortunately, we went through that period where he was nursing an ankle and some other issues, but he's really bounced back and showed a lot of playing with a lot of confidence, you know, something we knew he was capable of doing. He did it early in the year. He's done a good job. Joe Coleman, I thought Joe played well in spurts. You know, one of the things Joe is, you know, he's got to become more consistent in his outside shooting. And once he does, it's going to take a while for him to do that. He's not going to do it in the next couple of days, a few days, but he's gotten better defensively. I thought his game Sunday against Nebraska, he played much better, even though he didn't start the second half. Chip Armland had an outstanding game, and we want to reward him for his outstanding play. So, again, Elliot Eliason has given us solid play. You know, he was a redshirt. You know, Otto Osiniak is a guy who didn't get a lot of minutes, but he's a guy. So, he actually put our freshmen. I think they've really matured, in fact, they're playing the way we expect them to play. Well.
Also, it's a wide-open tournament for Tubby Smith and Minnesota going into this one. Thus, he sees a window of opportunity.
When you have three teams tied for first place in the Big Ten, and then there's a lot of teams that are not separated by much when you look at the conference standings. So I think it's a lot of balance. The teams that won the championship won it with five losses. So. I think that gives teams like us, you know, the opportunity to say, hey, look, maybe we can get in there and get a win.
Now, we have all the coaches. I had assigned Kevin Hurd to get one coach, but I couldn't wait any longer. I had assigned him Tubby Smith.
Huh, and I must have missed that one.
At the end of the interview, that's Kevin trying to ring in and get the interviewing call.
I must have missed that memo. Sorry, I got it late.
Evidently, because that's you trying to ring in there at the end of it with Tubby.
You know, that's the problem when you have to buzz in the middle of a conversation.
I said, don't worry, I'll take the other 11. I just need you to get Tubby Smith.
I couldn't
wait any longer. Sarah Bartlett, by the way, volunteered to interview seven or eight of them. I said, that's okay, Sarah. I'm all set. You were like, is there anything I can do? I said, yeah, why don't you get Tubby Smith?
That was a rhetorical question. Is there anything I could do? The answer would have been, no, you're fine. Just, you know, that would have been great.
I called him myself in the end. Then you're trying to ring in there, and I'm just like, oh, you know, you're always trying to be a part of the show somewhere.
I'm trying. It's just I'm failing miserably. It's, you know, Tubby has my number blocked just like you do.
Guess who suggested to Tubby to do it?
I can only imagine.
Now, we've taken a look here at the top half of the bracket. We're working on the bottom half of the bracket now. And the winner of the Northwestern-Minnesota game on Thursday will face the number two seed Michigan. Coming up in the next hour, we'll hear from John Beilein of Michigan talk about his team heading into the tournament. And again, the matchup down the road with either Minnesota or Northwestern. And then we'll preview the final game of the day on Thursday, Purdue against Nebraska. We'll hear from Matt Painter of Purdue and Doc Sadler of Nebraska with the winner of that game. Then moving on to meet the number three seed in the tournament, Ohio State. And yes, we will hear from Thad Matta to round it out. So far, eight coaches down in the opening hour and four more to go as we preview the Big Ten tournament.
I have a quick question. Biased aside, do you think this is the best tournament in college basketball right now, top to bottom, competitive-wise?
It's the second best one.
And what do you think the best one is?
Big East.
That's what I was going to ask. All right.
Yeah, the Big East has probably 10 teams going to the NCAA tournament. The Big Ten has seven. I think that the Big East still is. But the irony is a great article in the New York Times about how they basically now are lamenting how in 1989 the failure to invite Penn State.
Yeah.
Mike Trangese, Dave Gavin asked Mike Trangese, he says, do you think the vote was a mistake? Trangese said, absolutely. Georgetown, St. John's, and one other school led the charge against getting Penn State in.
I think I got a guess on what that last one would have been.
So there you go.
Your station for news, weather, business, and Fox Sports Radio is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.